It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
That's good.
I have nothing else to add.
Very good.
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. Michelle Knezovic, how are you doing?
Yeah, awesome. Doing great this morning.
That seems sarcastic a little bit.
Just a little. This week's been, you know, just a week.
Yeah.
There we go.
Anything you want to share?
No, I'm good to rant. I don't need to rant this morning.
Yeah, the rant's there for you if you need it at 7:45.
We may need it.
You got the choices yours today.
I do.
You do. Yeah.
I was laying in bed and I was like, ooh, I have a couple questions. So.
Okay.
There we go. We'll have that coming up at 8:30 today here on the program. Paul Kaharsky joining the show at 8 o'clock. Always entertaining when PK joins the program. So looking forward to that. We got a lot to get to on the program here today, including some Stanley Cup playoff, NBA playoff action last night, and a Memphis Grizzlies game to look forward to tonight. And Joe, your boy Draymond, suspended for one game versus stepping on Sabonis in the last game. I did not necessarily expect a suspension coming, but apparently the NBA deemed that to be necessary.
Yeah, it's really stupid. I know that I'm biased, but you know what? I mean, there are a lot of people, and yeah, I go with people who I think objectively cover the NBA, were already like, boy, that was a little bit stiff to toss him from that. But I get tossing him. It was too much of a stomp. Suspending him for the next game, that's clown.
Ridiculous.
That's clown show stuff, man. It really is. You want to get out of the way as much as you can in these playoffs. You know, if you have to do something, you have to do it. This is totally a case, to me, of, you know, reputation hurting Draymond. And look, I mean, he's earned a lot of that. I mean, he's gotten into a lot of these things, and he loses his head out there. But
well, the NBA basically said that. They're like, you know, this he's got a history of unsportsmanlike acts, and that's why he's been suspended.
Yeah, so I get that he has that. So fine the heck out of him, you know. Like, don't alter your postseason for his history. I think that's ridiculous.
Yep, we'll get a little bit into the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up a little bit later in the show. Joey, a crucial part of the Titans Stadium plan passes last night. They, in a 25-11 vote, council members approved the $2 billion deal with some amendments that have been tossed in there, which I believe now that this one has been approved, the bill cannot be changed at this point. So there's another vote that's coming up, I believe, next Tuesday in a special session.
Right.
But after last night's vote that was passed by the council, the deal can no longer be changed. So it was kind of yesterday was a pretty big one where, like, and Jared was talking about this a little bit yesterday too. If it passed yesterday, the odds are it's going to pass moving ahead here. So a big vote yesterday on the stadium deal. Like I said, another one coming up on next Tuesday, April 25th. But a vote passing last night. Apparently some heated debate, and it stretched into the wee hours of the morning. But 25-11 was the vote passing, and it looks like the stadium deal is going to end up going through.
Yeah, and they've gone back and forth with some of the money, and I think maybe some conjecture about, you know, the 10%, they're basically trying to take 10%, send it back to the general fund of tickets, which some people are like, well, we're never going to get any big events here. I heard Jared talk about this yesterday too, which I think is total BS. I mean, anybody who goes to anything nowadays, first of all, just the prices are ridiculous. Ticketmaster has been taking a huge cut forever. I mean, Pearl Jam makes songs about it in the 90s, you know,
yep,
and stops dealing with that. Like, this idea that if you have this 10% tack on, that you're going to all of a sudden, you're not going to get the Final Four. I think that was all dramatic BS. But it looks like they found a compromise, and you know, 25-11, so it's going through. It's basically over now.
Yeah, I'm reading on WKRN.com that the most significant change to the deal would establish a 3% tax on tickets for non-NFL events happening at the stadium.
Yeah. And so there you go. And that's probably better. I mean, I'm fine with the 10%, but it seems like a decent compromise, and there's no way that's going to be any kind of a deterrent for anyone to do anything here. Obviously, the whole idea of go back to, when the state invested, the idea is to have those events here at this indoor stadium.
Exactly. So the stadium vote, 25-11, passes last night, and another vote coming up next Tuesday, but it looks like all systems are go for the new stadium vote to go through. So we'll keep you updated on that as more information comes out, but a big step in that direction last night, and it looks like the new stadium for the Titans is going to end up becoming a reality. Joe, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Obviously, we've spent a lot of time looking at the quarterback position and the different options that the Titans are going to have at quarterback once the first round comes around, coming up here in just about a week, a little bit more than a week away, so we are 8 days away from the NFL draft. I was thinking about this yesterday. If I had to put a percentage on it, I would still say that an offensive lineman is probably the most likely pick in my mind that the Titans are going with their first pick at number 11. And we don't know who specifically who that would be, but I think we know roughly some of the guys who should be there, whether that's Paris Johnson Jr. or Roderick Jones or Peter Skoronski, who we've talked about a lot here on the show. So regardless of specifically which one of those guys it is, let's just say it's one of those three guys that they take at offensive line. If that's the direction that they go at number 11, what do we make of the job that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have done of revamping this offensive line this offseason? We knew they had to change it. We knew that the offensive line had to be addressed, and Lawan's gone, and Nate Davis is gone, and Ben Jones is gone, and all those things. But you brought in Dillard, you brought in Brunskill, and let's say you supplement that by drafting an offensive lineman at number 11. What then do you make of the job that the Titans have done of revamping the offensive line if that's the way they end up going a week from tomorrow?
Well, it's pretty thorough. No idea how it's going to work out. I don't know how good Brunskill is. I don't know how good Brewer is going to be at center, but I do think that that has a chance to work. I think Petit Frere has a chance to be pretty good. I didn't look at the entirety of last year and think it was. I thought there were more promise than bad with him. But then you still have just don't have any idea how good Dillard is. I mean, TD's been talking Andre Dillard for a long time. And look, sometimes you get beat out just because you're a high pick and you get beat out by a low pick. Doesn't mean that you're not good. Sometimes people just come out of nowhere and are just better than you. But I like if they do go with the pick, that's why I like that idea, because now there's less pressure on Dillard. It's all on him to be your left tackle, and if it doesn't work out, what the heck do you do? And now you can bump him inside. I mean, I think they're going to draft also an interior offensive lineman somewhere here. You know, and I mean, at some point this season, perhaps we see Dillon Radins. I mean, he's still in the mix. He could still be a rotational guy at some point. Corey Levin's around. I mean, there's some answers. But, yeah, to me, it's if you don't do that, if you don't draft an offensive lineman, I still have real questions about this group. And I'm talking about don't draft in the first round. Yep. They're going to draft offensive linemen, I think, with an E, not an A, even if it's not in the first round. But if they do in the first round, then I feel like, okay, they might be okay. I mean, you obviously hope you make a great pick at 11.
Right.
That you have someone who can come in and be a good starter for you. It doesn't always work out that way, but you could see the possibility of it being dramatically better this year.
Yeah, I look at it, and especially if they go offensive tackle at number 11, the question I have after that is, okay, I like that. Who's playing left guard? Like, are you moving Dillard inside? Are you finding that later in the draft where you're drafting your left guard? Are you putting Aaron Brewer back at left guard and going with Corey Levin at center? Like, what are you doing at left guard if you're the Titans. That would be the one area if they let's say they took, you know, Broderick Jones at number 11 coming up on Thursday. Great. I mean, that's cool. Or Paris Johnson Jr. Great. Now, who's playing left guard? That would be the one thing that I would want to know is, are you comfortable moving Dillard inside? Are you putting Brewer back at left guard and going with Corey Levin at center? Are you finding your left guard later in the draft? I mean, that would be the one thing that if they take an offensive tackle at number 11 that we don't know yet, but you got to find a plan at left guard for sure.
I'd be interested to know also what Dillard expects and what was communicated to him.
Yeah.
Is it just like, hey, come in here, compete, let's see what you can do. Here's some money. Or was there like talk of, you know, I mean, I assume Dillard probably would like to be a starting left tackle in the NFL, you know? Or is it, you know, or was that more like, hey, you're going to have every chance to be, because if you're Dillard, I'm sure that you're probably right now thinking, okay, I get to be a starting left tackle in the NFL now, and I'm going to make the most of it. And then you sit there and watch the draft like, oh, Paris Johnson Jr.'s coming in. Eh?
Yeah.
But that's the league too. So,
well, the one,
and he understands about losing competitions.
Yes, he does. Now, the one prospect at 11 that I think could be on the table for them is Skoronski. And we've talked about him. And how would the Titans view him? Would it be a tackle or would it be a guard? Because, you know, a lot of people view him as a tackle, but a lot of people also say that he's a little bit undersized, and especially the arm length is not ideal of what they're looking for out of an NFL left tackle. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't play left tackle, but if you draft him at 11, if you're the Titans, are you viewing him as your tackle or are you trying to plug and play him as a guard immediately? To me, like, if you're drafting him at 11, probably a tackle would be my guess. I don't know.
I mean, we got Dane Brugger on tomorrow. He doesn't look at him as a tackle at all. He's an interior offensive lineman. That's one guy.
Right.
It's one opinion.
But he's not alone there.
No.
Yeah.
He's not alone. So that's where you're probably right he's available. I mean, early in the draft process, a lot of people had Skoronski going like in the top 7 or 8 picks.
Yeah.
And I think sort of that realization that he's probably an interior offensive lineman in this league would move him down. But that also would make me wonder if you should take that guy to 11.
Yeah, for sure. We're off and running. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side, and we'll take your thoughts. What do you make of what the Titans have done to this point of revamping the offensive line, and how much should they consider taking one again at number 11 overall? We'll continue that conversation next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Rob? I got a couple of things, but you know really why. Today is Wednesday.
Oh, we know.
Joe, you're listening to me. So, Joe, I got a good motivational speech I'm going to try to give you here for us.
All right, I'm in.
These other little questions. Okay. Robert, you was talking about the Titans. I'm still on the thinking that they should trade back, get an offensive lineman or whatever, whatnot. I'm not buying this fact that they're going to trade all these picks and mortgage their future away just for a quarterback when they can still probably possibly get a Hendon Hooker, the offensive lineman that they want, maybe trade down, get some other prospects, you know, if need be. I'm just not sold on that because they need so many things, and there's some other things they haven't addressed, mainly offensive line like what you're talking about. So I don't – all this talk about getting a quarterback and trading up to the third pick and doing – I don't buy that, man, because that would be just giving too much away. I mean, he would be – a quarterback that high would come into a situation where he really wouldn't have a lot around him, say offensive line, weapons on the outside. Yeah, I'm just not going to buy that. But, Joe, I need you to listen to me today, man.
All right.
Big day. Big day, Joe.
It is.
I need you today, Joe. I need you to get that winning streak going again. I need you to focus, Joe, more than you ever have. Joe, you can take Steelman. You've been around him long enough. You know his strengths. You know his weaknesses. You need to just go for the throat, Joe, and do what you got to do, man. Take no slack, no prisoners, no nothing, Joe. Just take it all from him, man. Just demoralize him today.
Wow.
You can do that, Joe. Joe, you can do that.
So you're telling
me you can.
So you're telling me I got to talk Baskin Robbins a lot today.
We got to.
No, Joe.
Don't
we
do
don't
that.
Have to go.
Okay.
We don't have to. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we don't want to go there with that.
Oh,
Joe.
Okay.
Leave that alone.
That's low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's doing Baskin Robbins, let him have that, Joe. let him have that. You know, just focus, man. Joe, look. A lot of these debates you could have won, but you let him off the hook.
That's what he did.
You let him off the hook, Joe. Yeah, Joe, no more. Look, no more letting Steelman off the hook. If you lose, you lose only by making him earn it. Make him go down to the wire with it. You know how Steelman is. He likes to do these long out, you know, drawn out conversations about certain subjects and stuff. Let him have that, Joe. Just sit back, relax, do your thing, and just take it from him, Joe. Take it.
Right. Mark, I can tell you this.
Man.
You fired me up, if nothing else. I think you fired Rex Road up as well. We appreciate your call, and I think that you're going to serve Joe Rex Road really well today with your speech in this competition.
I hope
so. Oh, yeah, I'm going to hit it. Joe, I'm going to hit you every Friday. I ain't going nowhere, Joe.
That's
I'm
right.
here to stay, man. I'm here to stay. I'm your number one fan, Joe. Remember that.
Mark, we
love you. Remember that, Joe.
I got you, man.
Love
I
you too, man.
You.
Appreciate you calling
All right.
in. Mark from Nashville, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say, I mean, I still, again.
That fired me up.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my best today, okay? But I want Mark yelling at Jared at some point. And then also, by the way, man, if we could get a Stackhouse-Stillman debate.
Oh, yeah. Well, you may have to step aside if that takes place.
Like,
you should judge it as well.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Or maybe, like, you know, Jerry comes on your show, Michelle. Maybe you could, like, have, like, a surprise, like, sneak Jared in and just see how what would go on.
I would
absolutely never be able to have him on the show again if I ever did.
I mean, it would be, you'd go out in a blaze of glory. Yeah.
It'd be unbelievable. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the offensive line. Zach from Nashville on the text line says, they've done enough to take the best player available at the best value at the offensive line in this draft. There's a lot of offensive tackle prospects that will shift inside. Skoronski, Duncan, Daniels, etc. And a lot of good at both position players. Skoronski, Tyler Steen, etc. They don't have to force offensive line. Also, I need the Homertown boys, WHMR, to put an end to this narrative that trading up is mortgaging the future. You're investing in the future with no franchise quarterback. There is no future for this team. This is from Zach from Nashville on the text line.
Sounds like Jared, actually. No, look, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, and it just comes down to how certain you are, you know? So if you've gone through the evaluation, we've been saying this forever. We've been saying this the whole time here on WHMR.
Yes.
The hometown
boys. The Homer.
The Homertown boys with a Z. I love it. But we've been saying this forever. It's if you believe that you have that person, then, yeah, it's going to hurt in the short term, but – would you rather hurt in the short term and, you know, well, shoot, maybe draft high next year again, by the way, you know, and but have your answer at quarterback or your possible answer at quarterback, have that hope? Or would you rather be okay and have no idea where and when you're going to finally address that?
Right. Now that, you know, the drafting high next year part of it is also assuming you don't have to move up this year, right, and give up your next year's draft pick in order to go get them. But – look,
that's true. That's a fair point. You're right. Next year's high pick is, yeah. That's the thing, you know, real quick. Sorry to cut
you
off.
No, you're good.
But, you know, that's another thing, too, is if you're a team potentially, you know, like if you're the Cardinals, you probably think, yeah, their pick next year might be pretty high, too.
Yeah.
They might stink.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah. No, great. Yeah.
Well, but depending, mock drafts are what they are, and the phrase mock draft itself is almost – crawling all over me as we get closer to the draft. I'm over mock draft season. Let's get to it. But you know, the NFL Network folks yesterday, like one of them had, I think it was Schrager, had the Titans taking Hendon Hooker at 11. And then the other one, I think it's, I don't even remember who it was on the NFL Network yesterday, had the Titans taking Richardson at 11. So, like, who knows how the board is actually going to play out? Like, will those guys, will the quarterback run start where we all thought it would as, like, the draft process began? Or, like, are the Texans going to screw around and take a defensive player and then Arizona's got to find a way to either trade out or take a player they like and then all of a sudden the quarterback run gets stopped there and maybe somebody is available at 11? I don't know. Like, I have no idea how that part of it's going to go. And if there is a quarterback available at 11, do the Titans like him enough to take him at 11? I mean, there's so many different ways it could go. Like, I'm very confident that a quality offensive tackle will be available at 11 for the Titans, should they want to go that route. And that's still, I mean, you can make the argument that still makes the most sense if you're the Titans, where you have Tannehill, you have Henry, and then you just go offensive lineman to try to shore that up before you start to address the other holes on your team. Because, as Mark said, I mean, there are a ton of holes they have. They still have holes on the offensive line. We know about wide receiver. They got a ton of holes. But I am certain that one of these offensive tackle prospects will be there at 11 for them to go grab.
Yeah, but see, this brings up an exercise I wanted to do today. I think you're right. I think, you know, somebody is going to be there. But it could also, it's just like the quarterback situation. I mean, it could be that they don't like Broderick Jones at all.
Could
you
be.
Know? I mean, so could they be? So I'll bust that exercise out when we have more time. The idea of basically, like, the idea of what if they're in a situation of best available that doesn't fit a need, which would be really interesting
yep.
to do. Which is just another way to do mock drafting that you love so much.
You know, I go through my run of mock drafts, and then once we get about a week away, I'm like, all right, let's get this thing rolling.
Well, and it's same. I feel like there's more mock drafting going on this year than ever before. Like, it's basically like obviously you always have like the same people every, like Brugler does mock drafts and
right.
Daniel Jeremiah and all those, but I feel like everybody who is on any show now has to do a mock draft every day.
They've all got these mock drafts, and even Kuiper and McShay, like, they've come out with like 8 of them
yeah.
so far, and I'm just like, all right, can we just get
people
to it?
Like to read them.
I know they do. They really do.
I have a hard time resisting.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I'll still take a look at most of them, but we are reaching the point where I'm like, all right, let's get rolling here.
Yeah.
Let's get this draft going.
It's close.
We're close.
We're there.
Just a little bit over a week away from getting things kicked off on that point. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts, your texts. Matter of fact, you know what? Let's do that exercise coming up next. We're going to get into what this draft means for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel coming up a little bit later in the show. But let's throw that scenario out there that a best player available on the Titans board is available at number 11, and it's not necessarily a position of need. What do the Titans do? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Souls for Souls, presented by Gary Force Acura, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with other athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you've thrown the scenario out there. What happens if pick number 11 rolls around and the Titans are on the clock? They don't move around. They just hang out at number 11. And the best player available on their board is a player that is not necessarily a position of the greatest need for the Tennessee Titans. What do they do? And we've got a lot of people already on the text line today that say, well, trade back. Trading back is the best option for you, which is great, but that may not be an option.
Yeah, and by the way, that's part of this exercise is that's not available, okay?
Exactly.
This, by the way, this is not my idea, so but it's a cool idea. And okay, so let's go through that. So again, you don't have the opportunity to trade back.
Yep.
You don't have you don't have the people that you want at your positions of need.
Okay, right.
This is one of these things like everybody has to think about. So, you know, so the need and best player, you know, like don't match, right? You're sitting at 11. The QBs are gone. Again, like you said, there's going to be a tackle, but let's just say you are out at whatever. It's Skronsky.
Let's say it's Skronsky. Yeah, you don't like it.
You're just like, nah, I'm not taking it. Okay. You're not going to take either he's gone or you're just like you don't believe Jackson Smith and Jigba is. And I know a lot of Titans fans, I feel like, are on that train. And, you know, look, I think he's going to be good. You plug him into this offense next year. He has a chance to be a very significant player for you. Is he a number 11 pick? I don't know. So let's say then the obvious positions of need are not there. So you're looking at what in that scenario? You're looking at edge, whoever's there.
Corner,
whoever's there. And now there's also, what about Bijan Robinson?
There's that, and there's also one Jalen Carter that could be there at 11.
Well,
that
yeah.
would be very intriguing as well.
That's really interesting. So what do you do there? So to me, I mean, then you still have to ask questions. Like, I still need to see how it breaks down. Because I think edge certainly would probably be my answer without seeing exactly who it is, you know? I mean, like, realistically, I mean, in that scenario, I'm probably going Nolan Smith. And I've
yep.
talked about that before. I like him a lot. I think some of these Georgia defenders, you know, I think maybe it's almost like when people knock like a C.J. Stroud for like, wow, it's nice to throw it a bunch of first rounders blocking for you in a great scheme, right?
Right.
It's a little bit the same thing. Like all these Georgia defenders are so good collectively that, you know, maybe.
What are they individually?
Yeah, yeah. Like even last year's number one pick, there's a little thought of like, man, he has a little bit of an overdraft maybe. Good player, but great number one pick player?
Right.
Yeah. I think Nolan Smith is one of those guys who made them go.
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking at we're just talking about mock drafts. I'm looking at Brugler's, and he's got Nolan Smith at 8 to the Falcons, which is a little higher than I've seen him going in some other ones too. So would he be available? Would he not be? You know, there's a lot of talk about Miles Murphy out of Clemson, who's an edge rusher as well. I mean, you look around the list here, you know, he could be available at number 11 when that pick comes around for the Titans. Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa, edge rusher, that could be available. Like, there are, between the tackles available and the edge rushers available, there are going to be a couple intriguing names that are there at number 11 for the Titans. I do, but, like, what happens if that rolls around? And what if one of these corners drop, right? Like, there's the Gonzalez,
Christian
who everybody thinks going to Detroit.
Right.
And there's Witherspoon out of Illinois that some people think it's going to the Raiders. Some people have kind of sliding down to like 11 or 12 or 13 in that range. Like, what happens if your best player available is like Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois and he's sitting there at number 11 and it's a corner?
Yeah, I would hate that.
I would too. But
I mean, just because, you know, it's one, just the my long-held belief that, you know, you can load up with the best corners in the world, and if you can't get after the passer, I don't care. You're gonna get beat, you know. Not that the Titans couldn't use another great corner. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you feel like, yeah, like you said, best player on the board, and it's like, and it's a player who you're like, okay, this changes the calculus for this defense now. Okay, but I would hate it. I mean, off the cuff, I would hate it given the other needs. I think Bijan Robinson's a fascinating,
yeah, I do too,
conversation because. First of all, I mean, if that were to happen, so I'm looking at Dane's latest here. He's got him down to 16 to the Commanders. But again, that's also, that's really high for a running back.
Yeah.
If you, you know, if you believe that he is the full, you know, the three down, everything back, that at some point it's probably going to be the, you know, the next Titans back is going to be more of the traditional quote unquote modern back, right? And he's just a total difference maker for you. I mean, I don't think it would happen, but it's fascinating to think about.
I don't think it would happen. Like, to me, if it did happen,
it would be a trade in tandem with that?
Yeah, like, you'd have to move on from Henry.
Yeah.
I think.
A draft day trade of Henry?
Yeah. I mean, that would be the way you'd have to go there. Cam on the text line says, the golden rule should be to take the top player available on your big board. However, if it's a corner or Jalen Carter, I think you pass. This from Cam on the text line. The Jalen Carter part of this is really interesting because – you know, he's talked about not wanting to visit with teams unless they have a top 10 pick. We know the off-the-field stuff with Jalen Carter and everything that's going on there, and apparently was not overly impressive in the workouts and not in great shape. But at one point, I mean, he was thought to be the best player in the draft and could go maybe as high as number two when we started all this stuff. And now there's a really kind of a wide variance in the first round of where people think he could go. Like, if he's sitting there at 11 – how much do you think about that if you're the Titans? Even though it's not a position of need, you have Jeffrey Simmons locked up to a new deal, but if Jalen Carter is sitting there and you've got a chance to add to your interior that way, how much do you think about it if you're the Titans?
When they drafted Jeffrey Simmons, well, that's not a position of need. They got they got Jarrell Casey, they got Daquan Jones. That's not a position of need. Boy, good thing they did that, right?
Yeah.
If you believe it, I mean, I think there's concerns, and the concern is the, you know, the being in shape and the, you know, every play effort and all that stuff. But, yeah, I think you'd have to think of that. Like Keith says on text line, draft the best player. I agree. But let's say, you know, your big board, it's like you've got someone ahead of someone else by one spot and it's close, but the person below is the most glaring need. To me, you can't just totally abandon need in these, right? If it's clear, that's what I'm saying. If the way it shakes down, like you have Bijan Robinson just way ahead as an overall football player of anybody else who's there, but there's three players who would fill a more pressing need for you, well, there's where it gets interesting, you know? Like if it's somebody who clearly is higher on your big board and there's a gap,
yeah,
then I think you have to do that. I think you have to be faithful to the big board.
Yeah. Be the best on Twitter says, what positions are not a position of need other than edge? We'll have plenty of choices at number 11 overall. I mean, look, I think you could still make the argument fair. That edge is a need. Yeah. I mean, I like what they've done. I like Harold Landry coming off the injury, obviously. I like Arden Key coming in. Had a fun video he put on Instagram the other day, by the way. Really enjoys the two-tone blue with the Titans, so shout out to Arden Key.
Wow.
I like Rashad Weaver as kind of like a supplementary role. So, I mean, they're not in dire need of an edge rusher, but you can never, in this league, have enough people to get to the quarterback on a consistent basis.
No, like if the big board, if your big board, when you're there, if you have, whatever, let's say Nolan Smith and Paris Johnson Jr. are both there, and Nolan Smith is higher on your big board, take him. Take him. Take him over Paris Johnson Jr. I mean, you know, I truly believe that. Yeah, you can't – I don't think you can have too much affecting of other quarterbacks on your football team. And we talked about this just the other day. Danico Autry, it's not a lot longer here.
No.
I think he could be great again this coming year, but we don't know about Landry off the ACL. Landry's a very good player. Landry had a heck of a year a couple years ago. I think Weaver's – fine, but no, I like the Key signing too. I do. Yeah, if you could get another young potential star edge player, yes, I think you could easily, again, if your big board says it, do it.
Do you consider corner a position of need for the Titans?
Well, yes, in that Molden's been hurt and Fulton's been hurt. I think McCreary had a promising rookie year. He got picked on some. It wasn't perfect. But it's like McCreary and Petit Frere to me both last year, I come away with more good than bad. And I think more McCreary than Petit Frere. I'm more confident that McCreary's going to be a good player.
I agree.
But they don't have – I mean, like, when Fulton at his very best, I think is a legit – like, he's a number one corner caliber player. But the injuries are a concern.
That's the thing that makes it interesting at corner to me, is you got to make a decision on Fulton this year, right? I mean, he's been hurt, and we saw the decision that they apparently just made with David Long Jr. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they're going to do with Christian Fulton, and maybe Christian Fulton stays healthy the whole year, and it's a different conversation. But, like, if I had to guess right now, with his history being what it is, like, Christian Fulton probably going to get hurt at some point this year, and then you're going to have to make a decision if you're Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. And if he gets hurt again, the decision's probably going to be, yeah, we're not paying you.
Right.
So do you? How much – if a corner's there, that's what makes it pretty intriguing to me corner-wise, is are they looking ahead and saying, yeah, we don't think we're giving Christian Fulton a second contract. Let's go ahead and get that corner now.
Yeah, they don't have any more information on Fulton being healthy moving forward. So I think somewhere in this thing there's a good chance to take a corner.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. And correct me if I'm wrong, but one guy, if we have to stay at 11, that I've been watching tape on, I followed him in Alabama, and I'm pretty sure he declared for this year, but I could be wrong on this, but Brian Branch for the corner position would be an absolute stiller of a deal at 11. So I appreciate it, guys.
Yep, thanks for the call. I mean, it's interesting. The Alabama part of this, they've always seemingly got defensive backs that are available in every draft. Now, how do you feel about Brian Branch? I mean, he's number one, he'll be there at 11. Yeah. I don't think you're taking him at 11.
Yeah, he's a 4'5", 8". He's not big. He's 190. I also still have, like, flashbacks of him looking at Jalin Hyatt from behind a lot on a particular, but yes. I'm not saying he won't be a good player, but yeah, that's a reach. That's a super reach at 11.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy that I'm looking at Brugler's mock draft right now. Where does he have?
He has him Brian 30 to the Eagles.
30 to the Eagles. And by the way, he's a safety. So
safety or it safety could be a nickel. Yeah.
Probably not going that route.
Yeah.
615-737.
But they do need safety depth.
They do need safety depth. No question about it. Especially if Kevin Byard's situation continues to unravel. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the draft. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line coming up next. We'll do that next. Also, what will this draft tell us about Rand Carthon? We got into that a little bit yesterday. We'll continue that conversation next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Come hang out with me from 10 a.m. to noon this Saturday for another Kubota field event at the Coleman Tractor in White House for their biggest sales event of the year. You can demo Kubota tractors, zero-turn mowers, which I love, and more. That's Coleman Tractor of the White House, located at 3613 Highway 31 West, coming up this Saturday. Looking forward to hanging out on Saturday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Talking all things Titans and the NFL draft. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Paul from Mount Juliet. Paul, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, good morning. How are you guys?
We're good.
Yeah, I just had a question. I had more of a thought. The Titans have a ton of holes this season. Would it be smarter to move back in the draft and grab Stenson Bennett? I know he's had some issues, obviously, but I think it wouldn't be a bad idea if you take him in the sixth or something, you're not burning a draft on the quarterback this year. I'll just hang up and listen.
All right, thanks for the call, Paul. I mean, we've talked about Stetson Bennett on the show. I mean,
I'm here for Stetson Bennett.
I will say this. If you can draft him in the sixth, sure, why not? Maybe he comes in as immediately better than Malik Willis, and you got a better answer backup quarterback there. I don't know.
Except, you know, to Paul's point there, they have a lot of needs.
They do.
So, man, how many quarterbacks are you going to load your roster up with when you have so many needs at other positions?
I mean, the quarterback room next year could be, you know, Joe Milton at 1, Stetson Bennett at 2,
Malik Willis at 3.
Now that's exciting.
That's exhilarating.
Yes. I'm trying to look through here. Like, does Brugler have doesn't look like he has Bennett getting picked at all.
In the whole draft?
Unless I'm missing something.
I mean, you would have to think somebody's going to take him in the draft, right?
I would think so. I really do. I like Stetson Bennett. I mean, I think Stetson Bennett's going to get a paycheck in the NFL for a long time. But, yeah, you know, I mean, like Stetson Bennett is – if you're looking at Stetson Bennett as an NFL team right now, you are looking at him as a backup. And that's the reality. Crazier things have happened than Stetson Bennett. Oh, no, I'm wrong. He's got the Ravens in the 6. How about the Ravens? And the new era of Ravens quarterbacking, Stetson Bennett, baby.
Maybe so.
But as far as also the idea of trading back, as we've talked about, I think it's great if the Titans don't have someone they love high in their big board that is a perfect pick at 11, and they can get out of 11, someone wants to get in there for some reason, like these mocks that have them taking a Levis or a Hooker at 11, if someone else wants a Levis or Hooker in their Hooker, that would be super high. I don't think that's going to happen. But like a Levis. Levis is there. Someone else sees that, wants to get in there. I would say I'd rather see the Titans trade out of there, let somebody else pick Will Levis, and get more picks.
That would be the way that I would probably approach that too. But again, it's much like the Arizona Cardinals. I look at the way that this is shaken out. I still believe that they're going to end up trading out. Like it's way easier to trade out of a Houston pick or an Arizona pick than it is at 11 because somebody's going to want one of these quarterbacks. I'm still convinced. Like
yes.
This idea that the Colts are going to be able to just sit there at 4 and have their pick at the litter of Stroud, Richardson, and Levis, I just don't buy. I don't think it's going to end up playing out that way. Like it's way easier to trade out of one of those picks with either Houston or Arizona than it's going to be for the Titans at number 11, even though it would be less expensive for somebody to trade 11 with the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, look, I look at this like Bryce Young and then a gap than everybody else. But I don't think everybody does. And I think somebody's going to want to get in there if the Texans truly are looking to trade out rather than pick a quarterback. I mean, it's got to be one of the two for the Texans, right? It would be absurd to me of them to stay there and pick.
Maybe they just really love Will Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a good player. If you could tell me right now he's going to be Micah Parsons, okay, then I'll start to, but that's a stretch. He's going to be a good player. You got to either pick a quarterback, get out. But, yeah, you're right. Someone's going to want to get in there, right?
I mean, I have to think so. I mean, this idea that they're just going to be able to hang back, like Schefter was talking about on ESPN the other day, about how Indy thinks there's a real chance that they could just sit there at 4. I'm sure that's what they would love, is to sit there at 4 and not have to move up and have their pick at Stroud, Levis, and Richardson, but I just don't know that that's going to be realistic for them. Like, there's a lot of noise about Stroud right now specifically in terms of we've talked about the S2 testing and what that looked like, and you know, there have been talks about maybe he wasn't the greatest teammate at Ohio State, which every time we get into that stuff this time of year, I'm like, okay, let's get to the draft because that's always my favorite topic of conversation. But I still believe, like Cam on the text line says that if Stroud's there at 3, somebody's going to go get him. Like, I believe that. I think if Stroud is there at 3, somebody's going to go get him. Or maybe it's not Stroud. Maybe somebody is that in love with the raw ability of Anthony Richardson that's like, we cannot let this guy pass and we got to go get him.
Okay, so what if Stroud is sitting there at 3? Would you feel better about the Titans going to get him than Richardson?
Personally, I would. I love Richardson's physical ability. I think C.J. Stroud, and I said this earlier, I think he's the like prototypical type of quarterback. Like he's got the size, he's got the accuracy. He's played in big-time games. Now, albeit, he's not always played well in big-time games, and a couple of Michigan games come to mind. Now, one of them was in a snowstorm, so that one's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I watched him play against that Georgia defense and played that well against Georgia, that opened my eyes for him. I thought he looked great in that game. And if you can get that version of C.J. Stroud, yeah, I'll take that if you're the Titans. Now, he's not always looked that way, so I get that. That's one game. But he looked great in that one game, I can tell you that.
Yeah. For the information I have, I would not go get him. and mortgage everything. I would not go get Richardson. I would go get Bryce Young, and that's it for the cost that it will be. Now, I haven't done the evaluation the Titans have done.
Sure.
I mean, I have a tiny fraction of the information they have in the building. So, again, it comes down to their own work that they've done on this and their own belief. So, if they have that conviction, do it.
The Richardson part of this, like you said it yesterday, but it's regardless of where he goes, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to watch how this plays out, especially like I can tell you right now, like there are going to be Anthony Richardson to me. Let's say the Titans took him, right, and Tannehill was still here, and the plan was, oh, Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback. He's like Richardson's the perfect example to me of like somebody getting in there in the preseason and just lighting someone up and making some huge throws in the preseason where the fans are like, put this guy in right now. Put him in as a starting quarterback right now, even though he's probably nowhere near ready to be in a quarterback. But that's the type of ability that he has. I could see it already.
I mean, Malik Willis made like 2 good throws in a preseason game, and people were going crazy about it. So, yes, that will absolutely happen.
Yes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the draft coming up next. What will we learn about Rand Carthon in this draft as we're just over a week away from the first round of the NFL draft? This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.